Proverbs chapter number 23, and you find your reading place, if you will, stand for reverence to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and shall bear thee, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For the whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that liveth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Fathers, we bow before you. We do thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercies. I ask you this morning, Lord, to help me. I'm quite aware of the fact that without you, I can do nothing. And Lord, it's fallen my lot to try to preach this morning. I know the devil don't like this. I know society don't like this. And I pray to God that you'd help me to preach in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. God, I got to have you. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God, to preach what's right and to stand for what's right, dear God. Help us in these days to live our lives in such a way that would be pleasing and honoring and glorifying you. Oh God, help us. Help us, oh God, I do pray. I pray if there was to be one under the sound of our voice that's lost, I pray Holy Ghost conviction on that soul, down under soul, and draw them into a place of repentance and faith. Oh God, help us in these days, I pray. Lord, I pray to God, help me to say and to have the boldness to say what I need to say. Help me, Lord, to have enough sense to keep my mouth shut about what I shouldn't say. Oh God, help us this day. Help us, oh God, we do pray. Now thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We bless your sweet holy name. But Lord, we do love you with all our heart. And we love you with all our soul. And we love you with all our mind. In Jesus' sweet, loving, holy name we pray. Thy precious holy will be done, Lord. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. This morning I want to preach on this thought. It's been on my heart for some time. And this week especially, seemed like every morning that I got up and every night before I went to bed, I read in these verses. And the Lord is working on me about preaching about alcohol. I've never seen a time when God's people are so lax in standing against beer, wine, and liquor and such as this. And I thought about the adversities from drinking. I don't know a place in the Scripture that's any better in describing that than Proverbs chapter number 23 in the verses we just read. I see here the scarcity. He said, the drunkard shall come to poverty. And one of the major causes of poverty in America is alcoholism. It's one of the major causes. People, I've known people that were wealthy and had money and had good business and they drank it away and they wound up, in, as the old saying is, in the poorhouse because of alcohol. We see that in verse 21 of Proverbs 23. And also in 21, and we see the sluggishness. It says, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Those who drink spend too much time in the bed. Those who drink spend too much time sleeping, which brings poverty. Amen. Then I thought about the suffering. We see in verse 29 of chapter 23, he said, who hath sorrow? There's much suffering as a result of drinking. Mental suffering, physical suffering, emotional suffering, family suffering, social suffering, if you will. And then they sorrows. He said, who hath sorrow? Drinking brings sorrows. Then they strife. Who hath contentions? He said. Fusses and fights and argumentative ways. Then there's the slurring. He said, who hath babbling? You ever hear a drunk talk? They slur in their words. They don't make sense. They don't sound like themselves. A drunk can't speak well. He slurs in his words. Then there's the scars. Who hath wounds without cause? Physical scars, mental scars, social scars, religious scars. Regrets. Then there's the soreness in drinking. He said, who hath redness of eyes? The headache, the sickness. The drunk will throw up, be sick, said, I ain't going to drink again. And the next opportunity, they're drinking again. Then the sickness. He said in verse 32, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Booze is poison. It makes people sick. Vomiting is common with drinking booze. Then there's the adversity of sex. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Illicit sex is a product of drink. Booze do not build character. It tears character down. There's the sinful talk. Verse 33 said, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Then there's the stagger. Verse number 34 says this. It says, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon top of a mast. We have one in our congregation that's a fisherman by trade. You know what I'm talking about, Henry. Out there in the sea. Me and my wife went fishing with him one time. Now, he's got a lot better. He's been out there enough. He didn't do this so much as me and Teresa did when we got off the boat. We get off the boat and I'm doing this number. But he's talking about the staggering here. And then there's the stupor. He says in verse 35, they have stricken me, shall they say, and I was not sick. They have beat me and I felt it not. When shall I awake? The stupor, not knowing what's going on, not knowing what's being done to them, the drunk. Then there's the senselessness. In the latter part of that verse, it said, I will seek it yet again. The drunkard goes through all this, and then they say, I ain't going to drink no more, I quit. And then before you know it, they're right back on the bottle. Not knowing what's going on, feeling terrible about it. But then they vow not to drink again. But they do it again, knowing what it's going to do to them. Booze is addictive. I say today, it's a serious problem in our nation today. It's a sinful problem in our nation today. It's a social problem in our nation today. But what's really a bother me, it's become a religious problem in our churches today. I've never seen a time when people can quote Scripture, talk about how much they love Jesus, and have a bottle of wine in the cupboard and drink it, or liquor, or beer in the cooler. I've never seen a time like that. People are doing that. It bothers me. It bothers God. It's a serious problem. Someone said that half of the visits to the emergency room is the cause of alcohol. Americans spend 50 to $113.5 billion annually on alcohol. I looked these statistics up. A lot of them ain't up to date, but I got them off of the news reports and such as that, off the internet, if you will. The tax revenue off of booze in the USA in 2014 was $9.82 billion. That's a lot of money, ain't it? $9.82 billion, the revenue off of taxes on booze and alcohol. You say, well, that's pretty good money making. No wonder they're selling it so much. But listen to this. Listen to this. The consumption of alcohol costs the USA $223.5 billion in 2006. I wish I had all these years lined up, but I couldn't find them. If you take the population of America and figure that up, that's $746 per person that had to pay for the damage that alcohol caused. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, they tell us that $2 out of every $5, because you know some pay it out of their pocket, some insurance companies have to pay it, but the government pays $2 out of every $5. The federal, state, and local government pays that. That comes to a figure of $89.4 billion that's paid through our tax dollars. Well now, if they ain't bringing in but $9.82 billion in taxes, and they're spending $89.4 billion, it's going in the hole. It ain't making money. You say, well, how's it doing that? Well, you look at those that are on the welfare because daddy's too drunk to work. You look at those, my friend, who are having to go to the medical facilities because daddy's drunk and beat them. You look at them in the divorce courts because they beat wives and beat children. And look at them out on the highway at the wrecks and all that. That money's coming. It's coming from somewhere. And we, as American people, are paying it. Alcohol deaths are the average of 241.9 per day in America. 241.9 per day in America. That comes to a total of average 88,000 deaths a year in America because of alcohol. They wouldn't, but 80,000 died when we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. They wouldn't, but 57,000 died in Vietnam. But you don't hear nothing about what alcohols are doing. But you sure hear a lot about the guns, though, don't you? The third leading cause of preventative death in the USA is alcohol. 2013, death by DUI, driving under the influence, was 10,076. That's 27.6 people per day from drunken driving. Alcoholic liver disease death in 2013 was 18,146. Alcoholic induced death excluding accidents and homicides in 2013 was 29,001. Gun deaths in America is the average of 85.13 a day. But alcohol death is 241.9 per day. Why won't some of these politicians stand up and say, we need to stop this craziness? But no, they'll promote it. In 2010, it was 31,076 killed by guns, homicides, suicides, and unintentional shootings. Breaking that down, there was 11,078 gun deaths by homicide. That's 35% of all gun deaths. Guns were used in suicide 19,392 times per year average. That's 62% of gun deaths. Unintentionally shootings was 606. That's 3%. If 88,000 per year die because of alcohol and 31,076 by guns per year, that means there's 56,924 more people die because of alcohol than because of guns. But I don't hear alcohol control. Oh, they try to make themselves feel good by saying we won't sell it if they're less than, what is it, 21 now? They keep moving that, 18, 21, 21, 18, whatever, somewhere around there. That means 3 to 1 people die from alcohol than they do guns. For every one that is killed by a gun unintentionally or because they committed suicide or somebody else shot them, there's 3 dies because of alcohol. That's 2.8 more people killed by alcohol than with guns per day, average, in America. Then you get off on teens. 3 million teen alcoholics in the USA. And the average drink, the average age is from 13 to 14 when they begin to drink. 60% of all teenage deaths are caused by alcohol. 40% of teen suicides are drunk when they kill themselves. 9,000 teens are killed by DUI in America. And I said, it's not just a social problem. It's not just a family problem. It's not just a sinful problem. It's a serious problem. But I said, it's a religious problem. They tell me that in America, that 49% of Americans believe in some Christian values. 49%. I'm surprised it's that high. But they said some Christian values. When asked about the Ten Commandments, 14% say they believe in them. And when they become 16 to 24 years of age, that drops by 4%, so it's down to 10%. And I'm bothered by what I'm seeing going on in religion. And it ain't just the Catholics that drink in the church. Hey, we've got Baptist preachers. We've got ex-Baptist preachers that are drinking and drunken, and some may still be in the pulpit. I don't know. sad, and we wonder why God ain't moving. According to the National Council of Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, worldwide alcohol-related deaths average 2.5 million per year and causes illness and injury to millions more than that. 320,000 people in the ages of 15 to 29-year-old die alcohol-related death yearly worldwide. It ain't been but about 2 weeks ago I was called upon to do a funeral, to preach a funeral for a 34-year-old man who died because of alcohol. Just 34. So you ain't got to be 70 or 80. 34-year-old man. Drunk himself to death. Wasn't killed, he just drunk himself to death. Worked the job, drunk himself to death. Alcoholism is a global problem which compromises both the individual and social development. It causes harm far beyond the physical and psychological health of the drinker, including the well-being and health of other people around the drinker. The violence, the child neglect, the wife abuse, the absenteeism at work. This thing of alcohol needs to be hit head on by the leaders of this nation. Alcohol is the world's third leading risk factor for disease. Alcohol is associated with several infectious diseases like HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, sexual transmitted diseases like STIs and STDs. Why? Because alcohol weakens the immune system and it affects the judgment of the normal person. I found a list of 18 global health concerns. Number 3 is alcohol abuse. Number 18 is illicit drugs. Oh, we're attacking this thing of drugs. We're saying, oh, how we need to quit having these drugs, and we do. But the biggest addictive and biggest used, widely used drug they are is legal, and you can buy it in the drugstore, and you can buy it at Walmart, and you can buy it in the grocery store, and you can buy it in the gas station. You ain't got to do it back under in a back dark corner somewhere or another in the alley. Society we live in wants you to drink alcohol. They want you to drink it when you get married and drink it when you get divorced. They want you to drink it to get happy, but yet they want you to drink it when you get sad. They want you to drink it when you're stressed and drink it to have fun. Drink it to when you're lonely and drink it to be sociable. Drink it when you get off work and drink it when you get out of school. Drink it to when you win. Drink it when you lose. Drink it when you eat. Drink it when you go to bed. They want you to drink, but they kind of hide their conscience to say, drink responsibly. Just like the gambling. They want you to gamble responsibly. Some time ago, I preached a meeting in the last days. Man will lose their minds. When Lot offered them perverts of Sodom, his two virgin daughters that had never been with a man, he shows that in the last days, men will lose their minds. Who in their right mind would offer a bunch of perverts virgin daughters? Somebody's lost their mind, that's it. Alcohol promises one thing, but it delivers another. You drink to find joy, but you become miserable. You drink to get along with others, but you become argumentative. You drink to become sophisticated, but you become obnoxious. Amen. You drink to find friendship, but you make enemies. You drink to get high, but you become depressed. You drink to calm down, but you end up with the shakes. You drink to get confidence, but you become afraid. You drink, my friend, to make conversation easy, but your words become slurred. You drink to diminish the problems, but you see them multiplied. You drink to feel good, but you wake up feeling bad. You drink to cope with life, but you initiate death. Society wants you to drink, even though it leaves a trail of wreckage caused by drinking. Families destroyed. Marriages and children left in wreckage. Vows broken. Holiness is stopped. Friendship shattered. Well-to-do folk turn into poverty, death, and injury. The poplar and common use of alcohol has no place in the Christian. No place. Really shouldn't be anywhere, but it has no place in the Christian home. I work sometimes to go to people's houses, maybe strike up a conversation, tell me where they go to church and how they love Jesus. And then I know they drank. And don't make no beans about it. Don't even try to hide it. There's something wrong there. The same Holy Ghost that saved me, saved them if they're saved. So many warnings. Someone said, well, the Bible don't come out and say, don't drink. Oh, yeah, it does. What do you think it's to say? The Bible don't use the word, my friend, revival, but we need it, don't we? Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter 1 and 13. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, be sober. He tells us again in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober. Be vigilant, in other words, spiritually alert, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now I know that in Proverbs 34, 31, you'll find that alcohol is used as a narcotic. And I know that it's used for a medicine in 1 Timothy. But it ain't used just to drink to be a drinking. It ain't used to get drunk. It ain't used for socializing. America's number one drug problem ain't illegal drugs. It's a legal drug. More deaths and more addictions come from that than anything else. Amen. What makes alcohol so dangerous is that it is sold legally, widely available. You can get a beer that's diseased, you can get a Coca-Cola, and almost as cheap. Advertisers spend some $60 million telling you you're to drink. Alcohol has many defenders, but it has no defense. The destination of the alcohol is sorrow. Who has sorrow? Marriage is divorce. Gentlemen turn to wife beaters. Teens turn to rebels. Children to be abused. They send people to an early grave. Health problems. Hey, what about the contention? Who has contention? Fighting, arguing, violence, murder. One magazine said that half of murder is alcohol related. The foolish action. Who hath babbling? Ever listen to the drunk babble? Somebody said this and I like this. Oh, that men would put an enemy in their mouth to steal their brains away. Think about that. One man said, well, I drink vodka so nobody can't smell that I'm a drinking. A friend said, you ought to drink something you can smell so they'll know you're drunk, not stupid. What about the pain? Who hath wounds without cause? If it were any other plague affecting us, America would be upset. Hollywood would be putting on telephones to try to stop this epidemic. Music stars would put on benefit concerts to try to bring money to cure the epidemic. Politicians would run on the platform to stop the plague that's hindering America and it's killing America. Rewards would be offered for someone who could come up with a cure. Right here it is. Right here it is. It's Jesus Christ. What about the mental anguish? Who hath redness of eyes? Weeping and not sleeping. Alcohol offers you red eyes, white liver, dark brown bread, a yellow streak down your back, a blue outlook, and a black future. What about the health breakdown? It biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Amen. Why do people drink and then vomit? Their stomach's got more sense in their head. That's what it is. You say, preacher, you say it ain't fun. No, if it wasn't fun, they wouldn't be doing it. They're doing it because they are a season of pleasure in it. But you think about it, your body rejects the poison. You ever thought about it? Intoxicated? Notice that word in there? It's a toxin. It's poison. What about the immorality? Strange women. Heart that uttereth perverse things. Bible said in Proverbs 23:7, as a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Alcohol breaks down restraints. Makes you question the Bible. Make you lie. Make you curse. Make you question God. What about the instability? The tottering, the staggering, can't walk straight, talk straight, think straight. What about the insensibility? The sensibilities are deadened. What about the addicting factor? When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. They sober up and realize that it's wrong and regret it, but they still do it. Number one, the man takes a drink. Number two, the drink takes a drink. Number three, the drink takes the man. What about the deception of alcohol? Most country music advocates drinking, does it not? And running around on the wife and all such as that. What a mockery that beer companies have such control of America that the athletic events, who the biggest sponsor is, it's alcohol, yet it's the ruin of the athlete. Alcohol stole more out of baseball than the umpires have. In our local area, Oscar Blues are all time having what they call a family day. And you see the parents are drinking and the kids are playing on tunnels and dumping toys and stuff like that, trying to make it look all right. In Roslyn, when we tried to put a stop and had a meeting from selling it there on Sunday, one feller stood and said, I had several bars. I even had a family-oriented bar. No such thing as that. Family-oriented bar. Scripture said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Isaiah 5:22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Alcohol. When you use alcohol and you're one of God's children, you have a loss of light. You have a loss of joy. You have a loss of peace. You have a loss of love. You have a loss of fellowship. You have a loss of confidence. You have a loss of health, possibly even physical life. You say, you mean if a Christian drinks, he dies and goes to hell? No, your relation never changes, but your fellowship changes. If you're saved. Alcohol dulls a man's ears. It darkens his eyes. It diverts his feet. It defiles his tongue. It deceives his heart. It devours his intellect. It dooms his soul. Sin is a poison like a snake. It's stubborn like a mule. It's cruel like a bear. It's destructive like a canker worm. It's unclean like a wild dog. It's cunning like a fox. It's fierce like a wolf. It devours like a lion. And it's filthy like a hog. Years ago, at the turn of the 19th century, we had a man of God preaching across this country about alcohol, stood for what was right. You don't hear much about him anymore. He was Billy Sunday. He would go into a town and build a tabernacle. I read his life story, and they were no more than two nails per board. And those tabernacles would hold 20,000 and upwards of people. And he'd preach on alcohol and the dangers of it. But today, it ain't been long ago. A few years ago, I worked with a feller that went to a church down in South Carolina. It's one of them satellite churches. Got all kind of satellites in different communities. And the pastor came in and set a beer down on the pulpit. He said, as far as I'm concerned, ain't nothing wrong with drinking this. We've lost our distinction. And we wonder where God's at. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be full of God instead of full of alcohol. Yet we're looking at it like there's nothing wrong with it. I'm thankful to God. I'll make this statement. I'm not throwing off on him, but I guess I am. I appreciate what Brother Lamar said the other day. I appreciate that we got a conservative judge in the Supreme Court. But he'd have never went through that had he not ever drank. And I don't like that he said, I like beer and I still like beer. That was not a good mark on our children of this nation. I'm telling you, alcohol is an enemy to our nation. Alcohol is an enemy to the cause of Christ. It's deceptive. I'll read you what it says over a little earlier in Proverbs. Verse 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's the Bible. Remember, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The devil wants to deceive you. You say, preacher, we don't drink. I don't know who will hear this. I don't know who does and who don't. I know I don't. But I'm saying you'd be really surprised how many in the churches today are drinking alcohol and acting like there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody stand.